great thing is he's always able. Amen. Unto him, the Bible says, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you and I ask or think. Unto him. Amen.
Well, I want you to take your Bible with me tonight, if you would, please. Let's look in the book of 1 John, in those epistles, the little ones. And I don't know, we kind of give them those designations, don't we? We say the little book of this and the little book of that. But, you know, a lot of times there's some good stuff in there. Amen? And I want you to look with me, if you will, in chapter number 2. Chapter number 2. Now, John is, you know, this with this particular little book, as again, as we say, he is trying to help people, and that's those that he's writing to at that time, us in this time, to understand who we are in Christ, and that he uses this phrase, I don't know how many times, I didn't count it, but he uses this phrase, my little children. He talks about little children. And, you know, you look at that and sometimes you think, well, he's talking to little kids. And then, of course, the you know, the theologians say many times that he's talking to the new converts, young believers, however you want to talk about them. And, you know, sometimes that may be true. I don't know. But sometimes I think he's talking to all of us because we're just a bunch of little children of the Lord. Amen? I mean, that's the way that I think of it. But he uses those phrases. And I want you to look at that with me, if you will. In chapter number 2, begin reading with me. Let's just start in verse number 1. He says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments, he is a liar and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you had heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you've known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you've overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you're strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you've overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it is of the world. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, again for this evening. Thank you again for your word. And I pray now, just give us some wisdom. Give us some insight. Give us your instruction from it. Give us those things that would help us to grow and be more of a Christ-like image in this world. Show people and let them understand who we follow and who is our Lord and our Master and our Director. And I pray, God, you just speak to our hearts here this evening. I pray if there's somebody lost, save them. If there's somebody just needs a closer walk and a better thought in their heart and life of who Christ is and how to be more like him. Bless us with that this evening. And again, we'll just thank you. We'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And I want to preach to you tonight about, are you in the family? Are you in the family? Now, this second chapter, John has written a lot of stuff in the first chapter, and you know, he talks about, in chapter number one, he talks about our fellowship. He talks about us as Christians and how our fellowship ought to look. And you can look in that and you see that he gives us, it's almost like in these first couple of chapters, especially, it's kind of like he says, hey, I hope you did your homework because we're having a test. Amen? We're having a test to see if you understand some things. And, you know, I tell you, I don't think there's anything wrong with that for me and you as Christians to get in our Bibles and look at some things and say, you know, am I in this family? Am I in this family? Am I part of the family of God? Because there's some things that he asks us or that he tells us and that he shows us and says, hey, here's a pretty good test to see if you're one of us. Amen? You know, we was listening this week to preachers at the camp meeting, and I don't know if you remember the story or not, over in the book of Judges, and Jephthah is the judge of Israel at this time, and there are some men that are Ephraimites, and they come up against Jephthah and what he's trying to do. They're resisting him. They're standing against him. And Jephthah says, well, you know what we'll do? We'll just kill all of you. And that's what he does. I mean, that sounds pretty hard, but at the time, that was the only solution he had, was to get rid of them. Well, as things went on, they were covering some areas trying to prevent these people from coming through there. That were these Ephraimites. And when they came, Jephthah said, we got a test for them. We can tell. He said, if they tell you they're not an Ephraimite, he said, we got a test for you. They had to pronounce a particular word. And for some reason, I mean, I don't know what it was, but the word was Shibboleth. And those people could not pronounce that word. Amen? They couldn't pronounce it. They'd say Shibboleth. They had a difficulty in forming part of that word. And if they said Shibboleth, take them out and cut their head off. You know, that's pretty tough. But that was the test they had to pass, right? If they could do this, they could go. But if they couldn't say it, you're a goner. Amen? Well, our test is not that hard, okay? We ain't cutting nobody's heads off. But I do want you to look at this tonight and see about this idea, this thought, about being in the family of God. All right? And I want you to look at this maybe with just three things. And first of all, I want you to know, as part of this testing and this thing, that John gives out some pretty tough words to start with. I mean, he's got some kind of rough things to say to people to challenge them and to see if they're really part of the family of God. Look with you there, if you will, in verse number 1 and 2. He talks about, again, my little children. He said, I'm writing these things so that you do not sin. He said, if you haven't got it yet, you shouldn't be sinning. Amen. You know, I think probably, hey, some of us preachers need to get on that and preach that a while, don't we? We need to tell people that sin is not good. Amen? I think here the other day, I think it was Sister Jasmine, she sent us a little message about, you know, looking at church signs, and there was a church sign that said this. It said, it's too hot to change, the preacher said change the church sign. It's too hot to change the sign, but here it is in a short form. Sin bad, Jesus good, details inside. Amen. Hey, that's pretty succinct and to the point, isn't it? Well, what I'm telling you is that's what John is saying here. John said, look, sin is bad. And I'm telling you, you don't need to be in sin. And he tells us there in the end of chapter number 1, verse number 9, he said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. That's pretty tough, isn't it? I mean, some people say, well, I just don't like that kind of preacher. Do you know what he just said to me? Well, if, you know, the old saying, if the shoe fits, wear it. Amen. If that fits you, then, son, you're in trouble. And then he says, look, my little children, I write these things, I write to you, that you sin not. He said, but if any man does sin, If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. It's not like he's trying to come in and, you know, accuse and point out people or whatever. He's just saying, don't. But if you do, there is a remedy for that situation. You come to Christ Jesus and confess your sin, get right with God. He said, because he's not just the propitiation for our sin, but he's the propitiation, he's the payment, he is what God has provided for the sins of the whole world. Then don't you notice what he says in verse number 3? And hereby, he said, by this, we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. So first of all, as I say, there's some tough things. First of all, he says, look, you ought not sin. And if you do sin, get right about it. Amen? But here's another little tough thing that he says is, do you know him? He said, and hereby we do know that we know him. Well, how do we know that we ourselves are saved and we know him? He said, because we keep his commandments. In other words, hey, how can you tell one way if you're in the, because you obey him. Amen. You are obedient unto what the Lord has to say to me and you. And can I tell you, all y'all's had kids. What do you do with a disobedient child? When we was a kid, we didn't get a whipping, we got a whooping. Somebody say amen right there. Get a whooping. You know what that is. I'm just telling you, hey, they can iron some disobedience out of some kids with that. Now, I'm not telling you to beat kids and all that and be mad. But what I'm saying is there is something that says you need to understand the fact of obedience. And I think we've lost some of that today in our society. It's okay. We'll do this. We'll let them do that. Listen, kids need to learn obedience. I'm just telling you. And a lot of folks don't, oh no, you'll bruise. Yeah, well, my ego got bruised, my backside got bruised, my legs got striped, and hey, I learned how to have some obedience. Amen? It still works. Oh, preacher, you're a child beater. Yeah, okay, whatever. I'm just telling you, you and I need, and the Bible backs that up. Now, this is not talking about bringing people in and beating them, but it's saying that you ought to know how to listen when the Lord says something, right? I mean, he said, look, if you say that you know him, then you'll keep the commandments of the Lord. You remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, my words are not grievous. I'm not trying to lay something on you that's hard to do. He said, that's what the Pharisees are doing. That's what, and can I tell you, that's what religion does. Religion will come to you and say, oh, you got to jump through this hoop. You've got to go over this hurdle and you've got to do blah, 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 blah. All this stuff. No, that's not right. That's religion has its rules and regulations. That's not salvation. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, you take my yoke upon you. You learn of me. You see what I've... And the rules and the regulations are for religion. But I'm telling you, when you come to the Lord, there are some... He just said, listen to me, and I'm trying to help you. And I want you to obey the Word of God. I mean, that's what it is in a simple way. We know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Listen to what he said in verse 4. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments, he's a liar, and the truth's not in him. Well, I don't like that, but hallelujah, I don't like it either, but it's there in black and white, and I didn't say it, the Lord did. So what I'm telling you is, hey, if you want to get, there are some tough words that come during this test, and it said, do you know him? And if you know him, then you can learn how to obey him. Amen? I mean, he said, you'll keep his commandment. And in that word keep, there's the idea of making an effort and having some diligence in doing the things that God says to do. Amen? That's what the Lord wants us to do. So the first thing I'll ask you in this as far as the tough words is, do you know him? The second of all, John says, do you say that you are abiding in him? Look what he says down there in verse number 6. And he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. I mean, look, do you say you're abiding in him? Then walk like him. Model your life after the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can say that you're abiding in Him. Now, if you look back in your Bibles and go to John chapter 14, 15, and 16, you'll see that Jesus gave His disciples a lesson on abiding in Him while He's on His way to the cross. Jesus in John 13 has just shown an act of humility by washing His disciples' feet. He's shown His humility, and as He gets up, He begins to talk to them. He said, I'm going away, and you don't know where I'm going. You don't know to. He said, but I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'm coming back for you. And then they begin to go outside and on their way, and Jesus is headed toward the Garden of Gethsemane right before the arrest and the trial and the cross. I mean, He's right there. But you know what He tells? He said, I want to talk to you about abiding in Me. And He begins to talk to him about abiding in Him. And He says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. And if you're going to get any strength, if you're going to get any growth, if you're going to have a different life, then you've got to abide in Me. And John says here, he that saith he abideth in Him, he ought to himself walk like Jesus walked. Amen? Even as He walked. I mean, John is saying, look, verse 7, he said, I'm not writing a new command. I'm not telling you anything you ain't heard before, in other words. He said, I'm not telling you anything, but I'm just telling you something you need to hear. Amen? Something that you need to hear. So he says, look, walk like Him. Look in verse number 7 through 11, and he says, do you say that you're in the light? Look what he says in verse number 9, if you'll jump down to that. He's been talking about verse number 8. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He said, look, Jesus has come, and there is a true light. It's found in Christ. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the true light that lighteth every man. Jesus is the light that you and I need. So Jesus is the light, right? And he said, look, verse number 9, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there's none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. And he said, look, I write unto you, children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I mean, look, John is saying here, I want you to understand, man, that if you say you're in the light, then you should be able to show that by having a great love for the brethren. There's another test. Are you in the light? Yeah, I'm in the light. Then you ought to love the brethren. Amen. I mean, that's just an evidence. That's just something that shows. When you say you're walking in the light with Jesus, then thank God it'll show itself up. Amen? I mean, you won't be Mr. Critical and Mr. Fault Finder and Mr. Hate Him and don't have any use for that. I mean, hey, I'm just telling you, you better check up on yourself and see where you stand if you say you're in this family. Amen? That's what John is writing, okay? So, first of all, and I'll just tell you, I think that's some tough words. Those are some tough things that John has to say. But second of all, I want you to notice this. We'll go from some tough words, and let's go to where John begins to talk with some tender words. Again, look in verse number 12, and John says this. John says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, verse 13, because you've known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you've overcome the wicked one. I write unto you again, little children, because you've known the Father. I've written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you're strong and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Now, I know as you read that, you're thinking, well, it sounds like John saying the same thing twice. He is. And somebody said, well, why did he write it that way? I want to tell you, I don't completely understand it, but sometimes I think that duplication or saying something more than once gets through to some people. Amen? Anybody ever had to tell you something twice? Yeah. I sit there and look at them like, I didn't get that. Well, let me say it one more time. Okay? Hey, you ever been like that as a kid? Your mom and your dad told you to do something? You just look at them. They say, I'm saying this one more time. You better get it. Okay, I'm going to tell you one more time. Yeah, I got it. And sometimes you still don't got it, right? But John says this, and I don't know that's actually the reason. I don't understand the reason, but it is duplicated. He says the same thing twice. But look what he says. If you just kind of break it down. Verse 12, he said, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. And look at the end of verse 13. He said, I write unto you, little children. We'll just use the little children twice. I write unto you, little children, because you've known the Father. Boy, now when you look at this and you think, well, is he writing to kids and older men and young men? And say, you know, is that what he's doing? I think what it is probably is that he's writing to people in their spiritual maturity. In their spiritual maturity. And the little children, I think, as I told you, I think that could be all of us. But I think he is really, maybe with some of those words, he is keying in on what little children understand. As a newborn child of God, can I tell you something? You don't understand theology. You don't understand redemption. You don't understand the immutability of God. You don't understand all those theological terms. You know what you know? I'm saved, God loves me, and I'm one of His. That's about all you understand as a newborn babe in Christ, right? Well, look what he says. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. John said, I'm writing to you. And if you're in that baby stage of salvation, if you're just getting started, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, John says, I'm writing something to you, and I want you to know you're saved, and you belong to him, and your sins are forgiven. Thank God. Amen. Well, that ought to do something for you if you're just a newborn babe in Christ. He said, look, I write unto you little children again in the end of verse 13. He said, because you've known the Father. You've got a Father in heaven. He's forgiven your sin. You're a child of His. You ought to just be hallelujah happy. Amen. That's what he's saying for little children. And then he jumps into this second thought, and I write unto you fathers. I think fathers are those that have the upward spiritual maturity. And, you know, I'm not saying that's always people that are elderly, because sometimes people get saved later in life, and sometimes people don't grow like they ought to. You can be, you know, 50, 60 years old and still be a babe in Christ without having grown. But there are some people that will grow up and have some maturity, and I believe here he's calling them fathers. And he said, and I'm writing to those in that category, the fathers, he said, because you've known him that is from the beginning. I mean, you've got a little deeper understanding of who God is. And what did he do in the beginning? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God's put everything here in space and time and this place of earth, everything that is, he's made it all, and he's made it perfectly. And as Brother Ronnie is telling us this morning, when God made it, God said he saw it, and he saw that it was good. And when he made man, he saw that it was very good. Thank God. Hey, when you grow up, you know a whole lot more about God, your Father. Now, you still know he saved you. And you still know that he loves you. And you still know your sins are forgiven. But you just have a little bit deeper understanding about him being the God that takes care of everything. Again, in verse number 14, he says it again. He said, I have written unto you, fathers, because you've known him that is from the beginning. You've known him. You've walked with him. You've experienced some things. You've had him beside you. You've gone down the road, and he's been faithful to you. Thank God you know, you can trust him. You can live for him. You can die if you have to for him. He said, man, you've had him right there with you. You've known him from the beginning of this walk, from the beginning of your journey. Boy, isn't it good when you know you've been down the road a ways? Amen. I mean, listen, I'll tell y'all, I got saved in 1972. You know what that means? That means I've been saved 53 years this coming August. September. I will have been saved 53 years. I've come down the road a little bit. And you know what I found out? I found out He's faithful. I found out He'll stand with you when others come up against you. I found out that He is faithful in supplying your needs. I found out that He's there when times are tough and when things look bad and when others say no. Thank God I found out He is right there with me. Amen? That's what Paul says, look, I'm writing some of these tender words. I want you to understand some things about your God. Buddy, when you've been in this thing a while, you can just get right back and just have a spell anyway. Amen? I mean, you know that God. You say, yeah, preacher, but what about when stuff happens in my life? Can I tell you, He'll be there. Amen? He'll be right there with you. I mean, again, He's faithful. He's faithful. Amen. Woo! Can I tell you, He'll go with you through the trial. He'll go with you through the fire. He'll go with you through every battle. He'll be there in the storm. Hey, Sister Giselle talking about storm. Let me just say, hey, He's there right in the middle of them. And as one of those that have survived those things, thank God you can look up and you can say, hey, I've been down the road, but He's been with me every step of the way. Amen. Amen. That's what John says, I'm writing these things. I'm writing to them little children. And sometimes the little children, the young ones in God, the babes in Christ, I guess we'd say, as we say, hey, I can remember when I got saved. And all I knew was, I'm saved. I mean, and that's all I needed to know at that time. I didn't know nothing. I promise you, I didn't know nothing about the Bible. I didn't know anything about, you know, all the ins and outs of salvation. I just knew I was saved. I just knew I wasn't going to hell. I knew He wrote my name down. I knew I had a new life. Buddy, I knew I was saved. And that's all I had. And can I tell you what? You get one of them little newborn children of God, get them, and buddy, they'll stand up and say, preacher, I just want to say I'm saved. Amen. And they're excited about it. You know what? Some of them, oh, they'll get over that after a while. I don't want to get over it. Amen. I don't want you to. I don't want none of us to get over it. I want us to have that childlike excitement and understanding of who the Heavenly Father is and what He's done for us. But then I do want us to grow as we go down the line. He said, you fathers, you've known Him from the beginning. You've walked down this road. He's been there with you. He's ever stopped. You know what Paul said when he was getting ready to have his head chopped off? He said, I had to go and stand before Nero. And at my first answer, no man stood with me. Nevertheless, he said, the Lord stood by me. He'd been down that road. He'd run through a whole lot of trouble and trial. And he knew the Lord had been with him all the way. And he knew He'd be there on that day. Amen? I believe, buddy, when he told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, he's talking about, you know, he said he told Timothy, he said, you preach and you stay faithful and you do what you're supposed to. He said, I've run this race. I finished my course. He said, it's time for me to check out. He said, I finished it. I finished my course, kept the faith. He said, henceforth, because of that, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me that day. He said, not to me only. I'm not the only one. He said, but unto all them also which love His appearing. You walk down the road with Him for a while, and you're looking for the Lord to come. And you just can't wait till this thing's over with down here. And something new starts with Him as He begins to overcome this world, to be the victor over sin and over the ruler of this world, the devil himself. You can't wait for them things. Why? Because you've got some maturity and you understand what all of that means. We were down there this week, and they had a youth choir that sang. And I'm talking about tremendous singing. Youth choir, I don't know, they probably went, what, maybe 18, 20-year-olds, whatever they were in there. But there was a lot of little kids. And, I mean, they could sing beautifully. They did a great job of singing. And I was looking at them and kind of dialed back, and a lot of you can do the same thing. Dial back in your mind to the time when maybe you were in that youth choir, youth group, and you got up and sang. I can remember being up there at Union Avenue Baptist Church back when we was kids, and I'd look out there, and them old saints of God, they'd be shouting, they'd be running, they'd be hooping and hollering. I mean, you know, and I'm like, what's wrong with them? I mean, seriously, I'd wonder, you know, what's that all about? And we were just singing some songs, and we were, you know, we were in the Spirit of God and doing our best. And that's what these kids were doing. And I'm telling you, they started singing a couple of different songs, and I'm telling you, people just come unglued. I mean, they're shouting and carrying on and running and I'm all that, which is great. But you know what I understood? Those kids up there didn't have near that kind of excitement. They had great voices. They sounded good. The music, you know, all that was great. They just hadn't had the experience that some of us had had. We'd walked down that road, and we know what the Lord had done for us. That's why you can shout so many times, because you know what He's done for you. You've been there in some tight spots. You've been there in some hard places. And you know what? He was always right there beside you. He met you there and He loved on you. And He did some things you couldn't understand and you didn't think. And He was right there. And old John here said, I'm writing to some of you because y'all been there. He's been there with you ever since the beginning of this journey that you've been on. He's been right there with you. Amen. And then he says, he talks not just to the little children, he talks to the fathers, the more mature, I guess we'd say. But then he's got another group, and he says, I write unto you, young men, because you've overcome the wicked one. And then look again in verse 14, he said, and I have written unto you, young men, because you're strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you've overcome the wicked one. There, I think he's talking to those that are somewhere between that level of just a babe and maybe a more mature father. They're in the middle. And can I tell you, when you're in that, when you're in those years where you have your vitality and your strength and all of that, you know you're saved and you've got a little better footing than those babes in Christ, and you're not quite yet to those real mature times, but you know what? You can be in the battle and you know He's there with you. You've gotten in the fight and you're there at those times when your physical strength maybe, but your spiritual strength especially is at its seems like it's at its maximum, it's at its strongest point, and thank God you can go fight the devil because you got the Lord on your side. Amen. It makes me think of how David walked out there and he's looking at all that crowd and he said, isn't anybody going to fight this guy, Goliath? What are y'all afraid of? He said, I'll go fight him. And he went and he didn't have that maturity. He didn't have that experience that maybe all those other warriors and soldiers had. But thank God he knew he had the Lord and he had some experience. He said, hey, I've kept the sheep. I know what it is to fight the lion and I know what it is to fight the bear. I know what all the battle is. He really didn't know the entirety of it, but he knew something. And he got out there and he fought the battle. Can I tell you, we need some young men of spiritual valor, some young men of spiritual vigor. We need some young men that are ready to get in and fight the spiritual battle. And John writes to him, he said, you're strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you've overcome the wicked one. You've got more inside of you than sometimes you even realize. Amen? Boy, and that's some, to me, some of those things that he says, those are the tender words that he gives to those that are the children, the little children, to the fathers and to the young men. But then I want you to look one more time and realize that he gives us those tough words, he gives us some tender words, but then here, kind of winding up, he gives us some true words. Listen to what he says in verse number 15. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You got that? That's a pretty strong verse right there. But you need to hear that. You need to know that. You probably need to memorize that. You might need to underline that, highlight that. Whatever you do in your Bible, do that. Memorize that verse. He says, if any man love the world, love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it's of the world. He said, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Boy, ain't that good stuff? I mean, I want you to understand, he is saying, here are some true words. Here's some, you know, the same Paul wrote, Paul wrote later in another one of his epistles, he wrote it, he said, the Lord knoweth them. He said, there's a foundation and it's got a seal. Now, the foundation of the Lord stands sure. He said, and this is the seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. I mean, that's pretty strong stuff right there too. But John says, well, let me just say it like this. If you're loving this world, the love of the Father is not in you. Now, again, God did not appoint me judge, but I can tell you this, you can look at folks, and if they love this world, and they still say, well, I'm saved, preacher, but I can get out here and I can do what the world does, you better kind of take a long look at that. They need to come have themselves a little checkup. They need to get in their Bibles and say, well, that doesn't mean anything. I can go do whatever I... You better go look at it again and check out and see what it says. You see what it says? He tells us here. Here's some true words. First of all, he says, I want you to know what real love is. You see, he said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What is real love? Our real love is to love God. Amen? Do you know that's one of the very first commandments that when Moses wrote those 10 down on those tables of stone, one of them, love the Lord thy God with all your soul, all your strength, all your mind. You love Him. Amen. And he said, if the love of the Father is... Now, I want to tell you something. You love the Father, you won't be doing a lot of stuff that somebody that doesn't love Him does. Amen. I'm not saying you won't mess up. And I'm not saying you won't fall. And I'm not saying you won't ever have a moment where you get in a mess. But I'm telling you, you won't just fall in love and say, well, that just don't bother me no more. Well, you got problems then. You've got problems of biblical size. Because this right here says, you're to love Him above everything else. Amen. Love Him. That's what it says. And that is... John said, let me tell you what real love is. Real love is when you love the Father. I mean, you go on through this book, and 1 John, and what does John say? He said, we love Him because He first loved us. Amen. And he said, God is love. And the only way you and I know real love is because we're saved by the great grace of God, and He loved us, and we love Him back. Amen. I mean, that's how you know what I mean? As people tell me sometimes, they say, well, preacher, I'm saved, but, you know, they've got an explanation that goes along. Well, the reason I'm doing blah, 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 and whatever it is, I'm over here trying to live in a homosexual lifestyle. I'm over here, I've just moved in with somebody, and we're just living. Hey, I want to tell you, look at your Bible and see if that's in there. Does that love God? Nope. Amen. Well, I love God, but I can get out here and drink like a fish and run around with this world. Then you better check your Bible. Or you can't meet others. I ain't got it. Because that ain't looking right to me. Amen? Shake your head like that because it's right. I'm telling you. Hey, brother, there's a lot of stuff in there that people say, well, preacher, I've just got this little thing. Well, you may have a little thing, but you need to come to God, bring it to Him, and say, hey, Lord, I need some help with this. Amen? Amen. What real love is. But second of all, he talks about the ruination of lust. You see what he says here? Here's the ruination. He said, love not the world, neither things that are in the world. Amen. Love the world, love Father, not Him. He said, for all that's in the world is this, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And it's not of the Father, but it's of the world. Now, again, I didn't write this. I didn't say this. I ain't that smart, okay? But God sure is, and it's pinned down in His holy, eternal word, and He means everything that He said. Well, preacher, all you want to do is just ruin people's, just ruin their life, and they can't have no fun. Look, hey, this ain't me. This is God. And He's saying, look, this is all that there is in this world. And if you want to take, I think I've said this before, any kind of sin you want to take, it'll fall under one of these three categories: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. Any way you want to take it, it's there. Some people correlate these with those other three things that he just mentioned: little children, the young man, and the father. You can take all three of those different dynamics, and you can say that those things that he mentions fall under one of those three categories, and it seems more strong to maybe one of those three types of people. The younger ones, the lust of the eyes. I mean, the lust of the flesh. As a younger person, the lust of the flesh is something that comes on and begins to drive your senses, if you will. As a middle-aged person, the lust of the eyes may take over. You begin to see things. You begin to see that you want things, and you begin to, you know, reach out and grab and do, and you're in your physical prime, and you're trying to produce, and you're trying, and that lust for more and flesh and whatever the flesh wants, it comes on them when you're more able to do that. And then as you get older and you've achieved some things, and maybe you've you know, got a little better lifestyle or whatever, then the pride of life kick back and say, well, look what I have done. Look what I have accomplished. Can I tell you, that's the ruination of those lusts in our life. It will bring a person down if we're not careful. Amen? That's what what John is saying here, is that it is the ruination. But he said, here's what's real love. Here's what is the real ruination of lusts. But then he said, let me just tell you about rich living. Look what he says in verse number 17. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof. All that stuff's going to go one of these days. All of the fleshly stuff, all of the stuff with your eyes, see, all of the pride, everything, it's going to be gone one day. He said, but look at this. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. There is real living right there. If you'll just do the will of God the Father, there will be real living and real life for you. And it's life eternal. Life eternal. And isn't that what we're looking for? You remember that rich young ruler that came to Jesus, and he said, Lord, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? I want life, and I want it eternal. And Jesus said, well, you know the commandments. Oh, I know all the commandments, kept all of them. He said, one thing you lack. What is that? And he said, sell everything you got. And you know what? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life all got him right then. He couldn't turn loose. He saw his fortune. And that fortune stirred and did something pleasant for his flesh. And that pride that he had because of what he had, he said, I can't do it. And the Bible said he went away sorrowful. Couldn't turn loose of it. Can I tell you, John right here says, if you'll do that, get rid of those things, move those, realize what they are. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. Hey, that's why I say you're going to take this test and see, are you in the family? Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing a verse of a song, if you would, this evening. Are you in this family? Are you part of the family of God? Or are you saying, well, I want to, but I want to hang on to this. Oh, I'm claiming this, but, oh, and I've been baptized. My name's on the roll, but I'm still wanting to do this and hang on to that and be this and be that. Listen, friend, you need to understand, You just need to come to the Lord and say, Lord, here it is. I've got to give you everything I got. Let's stand, if you would, tonight. What are we going to sing, Brother Ronnie? Page 379. If you need to come, hey, there is a fountain filled with blood. Amen. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from